When do you look forward to words of exhortation from our brother George Hawkins?
Brother Chairman, my dear brethren and sisters, in the Lord Jesus Christ, it indeed gives us great pleasure, brethren and sisters, to be in your midst at this particular time, particularly that we might meet together around the table of our absent Lord and partake of the emblems that remind us of these things. We do bring with us the fraternal, loving greetings of your brethren and sisters in Perth, Western Australia, in the Eastern States, and many other individuals that know you personally. And this morning, brethren and sisters, we hope to take a few thoughts from Leviticus chapter 13, that our minds might be prepared for the emblems that are set before us. In Leviticus 13, we have the subject of leprosy outlined in very graphic detail. Leprosy represents the corruption of our nature. It was something that could be seen. But it goes a little bit further than that, because the externals are not the things that the Father is concerned about so much as what goes on in the heart and the mind. This was pointed out to Samuel when he was sent to anoint the son of Jesse, that Yahweh looketh not on the outward appearance, but on the heart. And as we've met together around these emblems this morning here, we have an opportunity now to examine ourselves and to pour out our hearts to the Father. We cannot deceive ourselves if we look at ourselves through the eyes of the Spirit, and we cannot deceive the Spirit. And therefore we've come together this morning because we believe these things, that God does not look on the outward appearance, but he looketh on the heart. Now with leprosy, it was an outward sign of moral corruption. It represented externally that we are all possessed of sin's flesh. We are corruptible by nature. And the only thing that is incorruptible is the word of Yahweh. And if we can absorb that incorruptible seed into our lives, then there is something in us worth preserving. Without that incorruptible seed, there is nothing in us worth preserving, because there is nothing in us that bears a resemblance to the Father in the heavens. And so when you look through Leviticus chapter 13, we're introduced to leprosy, an outward indication of the moral corruption that is in all flesh. Now, it's interesting to go through the scriptures and notice the occasion that individuals were afflicted with leprosy. We're introduced to it in Exodus chapter 4, when Moses was told to put his hand into his bosom, pluck it out, and reveal to the people in Egypt that he was leprous. Then to place his hand back in his bosom again, to bring it out, and to show that the leprosy had been cleansed. And Moses was to go back to the people and show that indeed of himself was this corruption, but because of God working through him, he could be cleansed and so could they. And therefore, when Moses indicated this to the people, he was offering to them hope. Hope from the idolatry that they'd been steeped in Egypt, the corruption and the death of that system. We go on a little bit further and consider Miriam's leprosy. Miriam and Aaron usurped Moses' authority. They usurped the divine authority that had placed on Moses. They thought more highly of themselves than they ought to have thought. And we see the morality of Miriam and Aaron being corrupted. And this was indicated by Miriam being afflicted with leprosy. And her affliction at that time was an outward sign to the moral corruption of that woman, in that she dared to usurp the authority of he whom the Father had selected. We go on a little bit further and we're introduced to a Gentile, Naaman, the Assyrian. Naaman had leprosy, and that indicated not only his hopeless corruption as a Gentile outside the covenants, but it also indicated pride. There was pride in that man's character, and there was moral corruption working at its strongest. And it wasn't till that man was prepared to battle with his pride and to humble himself under the mighty hand of God that his leprosy was cleansed. So we see in Naaman's state, a man outside the covenant, his leprosy representing that hopeless state and the pride of his character. We look at Gehazi, the servant of Yahweh at that time. He coveted the rewards that Naaman offered. The prophet of God didn't want those rewards. We can't profit from the things of the truth. We must never trade in the things of the truth. We must give ourselves to the things of Yahweh. But Gehazi was a man that coveted the things of the flesh, and he used the truth, and he used his position. He used the overjoyed reaction of a person that had been introduced to the truth. Here was someone that rejoiced in the salvation that had been presented to him. And Gehazi was one that took advantage of this person and used that opportunity to satisfy his covetousness. And so Gehazi was smitten with the leprosy of Naaman. Leprosy that represented someone outside the covenants of hope. Someone that was dominated by pride. And so we see Gehazi now afflicted with this malady that represents that moral defilement that he had at that time. We go on and consider Uzziah. Uzziah was a man that was marvellously helped till he was strong. But then his heart was lifted up to the point where he blasphemed the Father. He blasphemed the privileges that he'd been placed in as being king. And with that presumption of mind, he dared to sweep aside the priesthood. The only means of access he had to the Father, he swept them aside and dared to approach before the veil in the most holy place. Absolute presumption and blasphemy. And therefore Uzziah's leprosy was an outward sign of that moral sickness of the man at that particular time. That is why he was afflicted in the head. The thinking was completely wrong. So when you go through the scriptures and you consider the way people were afflicted with leprosy and the lessons that are contained therein, we must come to the conclusion that it represents moral defilement as well as physical defilement. So it represents the nature that we bear. Now when you look at this chapter in Leviticus, there are tremendous lessons that scream from that chapter, warning us of these fundamental principles that we all hold so dearly. 37 times in this chapter, 37 times skin is referred to. Now that is telling us that this most fearsome disease starts in the skin. It's very shallow at first, very small. It may start off as an insignificant blemish. The skin. Be aware of things that are skin deep. Because if they're allowed to develop, they will go deeper and deeper until they affect the whole body. They get into the bloodstream and the whole body is affected. So here the Father's telling the people that they were to be aware of this plague of leprosy, and they were to fear it, because it could destroy their natural bodies. Just as sin can enter into the lives of a believer, and it may start off skin deep, it may be very shallow in its beginnings, but if it is not watched and corrected, it will eventually move down deeply into the character of that person until it affects the very bloodstream of their spiritual lives and will destroy them from the ways of truth. You know, 7 is a number that comes out very beautifully in this chapter too. Because when once a person detected leprosy, they had to inform the priest of the leprosy. The priest representing the Lord Jesus Christ in type. And then they were put aside for 7 days. And at the end of 7 days, there was an inspection again. Surely that reminds us of the 7,000-year period when all defilement will be removed and this whole earth redounds to the glory of the Father. It's a complete period of separation. And the number seven occurs seven times in this chapter. The seventh day occurs five times. So, you know, there are ideas here telling us that we must be aware of the skin-deep problems that can afflict us and lead us away from the things of the truth. And we must recognise that we look for that time when we will be completely cleansed, and therefore we will be healed from these things that threaten to destroy us on every hand. Now, you've got to let your imagination flow a little when you read this chapter. And you've got to imagine yourself as an Israelite. See, this chapter's given over to warnings. And God told his people to fear this disease. It could strike them at any time without warning. Just as sin can present itself before us at any time, in any situation, without warning. You can contact the defilement from another. You don't necessarily have to rub shoulders directly with another. You can contact it by touching utensils or things that have been associated with others. And so what the Father was telling the people is to be constantly examining yourself. If you see a blemish, watch it. Watch it carefully. And if it's starting to move, go to the priest immediately and go and tell him and confess the problem that you've detected. Now, we can imagine that there would be some people that would be reluctant to do this. They would see a blemish developing and they would refuse to see it. They wouldn't look at it. Like that, that's a natural characteristic of the flesh. It doesn't like to see things that are detrimental towards itself. And I can imagine some Israelites seeing a blemish and then hiding it, refusing to see it. But you know, when that occurred, brethren and sisters, that eventually grew and grew until other people started to notice it. And then, irrespective of that person refusing to see, others were now noticing it, and they were drawing the individual's attention to it, and they were then calling the attention of the priest. And whether that individual liked it or not, whether he refused to face up to that problem that had developed, he had many opportunities to do so when it was very small and just developing in the skin. But when once it got to the stage where others noticed it and then demanded that he be brought before the priest, in most cases it had gone too far. You know, what a tremendous lesson there is there as we consider the emblems that are set before us, that we need to examine ourselves and we need to be aware of those things that are developing in our lives oftentimes. We don't know. All of a sudden, we detect a weakness. It's been pointed out to us. We can refuse to admit it if we like, just as the leper could have refused. But eventually, that will grow and grow until it will be detected by the priest, and he will say, outside of that camp, and what is more, you've got to tell everybody that you're unclean. So there comes a time when the person's got to shout out to people, I am unclean, I am unclean. Now, if only he'd have detected that in the early stages, if he'd been prepared to notice it, when it was in the skin, when it first developed, he may have saved himself from that humiliation of having to now broadcast to all that he was unclean and having been deliberately put without the camp. You know, there are beautiful lessons here. You can imagine a person, though, that would have been attentive to these things. And soon as they saw a defilement, going to the priest immediately and pouring out their heart to the priest and asking the priest what they should do. And the priest saying to them, well, it hasn't developed very far yet. You go outside the camp and you do as I tell you. You wash and you do this, and maybe we'll be able to check this. You know, that's what we do when we detect problems in our life and we go to the Lord in prayer. Immediately the balm is offered to us. The eye salve that we might see. The great physician offers to us the means of cleansing. And all these beautiful lessons are being portrayed here. And you can imagine that person, a genuine person, who was prepared to see that problem, go to the priest, accept his advice, and humbly go outside that camp. You can imagine every day of that man's life, he would get up and look. Any changes? And if he could see that it was going, you can imagine the excitement in his mind as he anticipates meeting the priest on the seventh day. There'd be an excitement in that man's life. He was defiled, and he knew the horror of that. But he also knew the excitement if he could see slowly and gradually there was a cleansing taking place in his life. And there would be a confidence in that man or woman's mind. They would anticipate meeting that priest on the seventh day. They knew they were defiled, but what a joyous thing it would be for them to say, look, look, we are changing, we're changing. It's gradual, but isn't that right? And then waiting for the priest's confirmation. And what a joy it would be if he said, yes, yes, there is a change. Keep at it. Another 7 days, and we'll see what happens. But you can imagine the terror in a person's mind if, as they look at themselves, they see it developing, and they'd be afraid for that priest to come. They'd be afraid to meet him on the seventh day, because there's that guiltiness within them, anticipating that when he comes, he's going to proclaim to them that, yes, that's developing, that's terrible. You know, perhaps it had gone too far. You know, these are the lessons that you see developing here in chapter 13. They're such simple, fundamental lessons that we can take to heart as we consider these emblems before us. And the apostle says, examine yourselves. Let us examine ourselves as we consider these things that are set before us. And let's see whether things are developing, skin deep maybe. They may only look insignificant as far as we're concerned, but they can develop just as the leprosy could. And when we have these things pointed out to us, and blemishes are in our lives, in our characters, that do blemish the holiness and the purity of the Lord Jesus Christ, the one that is without spot and blemish, when we consider these things, let us go to him and let us appeal to him that he might help us, that we might be cleansed. You know, they're the lessons that come out in this chapter. You know, when you go through the chapter, you find that the ritual for cleansing was very similar to the ritual that was presented to the Nazarite. There was a particular, very particular way in which they were to recognise their cleansing. So that if perchance the person was cleansed and they were healed of their leprosy, and of course there's all sorts of leprosy mentioned in this chapter, some leprosy is curable, some of it is incurable. And there's a lesson for us in the truth. Some moral defilement can be cured, some, sadly to say, is incurable. And alas, that is the case with some that have walked in the ways of the truth, as we see all the way through the scriptures. Some have their problems and difficulties and can be cured. Others, though, are incurable. And we've already referred to a few that were in that sort of category. And so here in chapter 14, when once the person had been pronounced clean, they then had to recognise the situation they had been in. And so when you go through chapter 14, we say there is a particular emphasis on detail here. They had to strip themselves naked. They had to remove all their former clothes, verse 8. And he shall be cleansed and wash his clothes, shave off every hair from his body, wash himself in water that he may be clean, and after that shall he come into the camp. See, the person had to recognise that everything that had been associated with them while they were in that state was affected. The hairs represent the thinking. The little hairs, especially, that spring out of the head, represent the thoughts of individuals. You know, and all those thoughts identified at that time, because they were concentrated on this defilement, there was that negative approach to things, and because that external affliction represented moral defilement, by removing the hairs puts a person back as a newborn baby. Just like a newborn baby, in most respects, is born without the hairs on the head. So this person was becoming like a newborn baby now, to start afresh. and develop that attitude of mind whereby thoughts would spring forth and glorify the principles of the Father, recognizing that all that had been associated with them during that state had been affected. And then they were to identify with the sacrifices. Sacrifices that were especially prescribed by the priest that point forward to the purity of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there in verse 4, we read that they had to take two birds, alive and clean, and cedar wood and scarlet and hyssop. And in all these things, you see the humility of the man being emphasized before him. And he's being shown here that though you have been cleaned, it's dependent upon the one who is represented in these sacrifices. He is the one that you are to be cleaned by, ultimately cleansed by. And then after all of this ritual, then the man was eventually pronounced clean. Then he had to offer sacrifices that were prescribed by the priest. And the details of such are in verse 10 down to verse, throughout the rest of the details in that chapter. A tremendous emphasis upon the things of God as they're seen in the Lord Jesus Christ. Things, brethren and sisters, that we've come together to be reminded of this morning. And if you were to go through these details with the help of Brother Robert Roberts, you can see how all of these sacrifices emphasize the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. But we don't want to spend time emphasizing those particular details at this moment. We want to try and show you this theme as it flows through the scriptures. We must be prepared to notice those things that are developing in our lives, as shallow as they might appear, because they can grow deeper and deeper until they destroy an individual. We must be prepared to come before our priest, confess our failures and our defilement, and seek his instruction that we might be healed, and identify with the sacrifices contained herein. And a person that does that, as they see the slow and gradual healing of their affliction of mortality and sin, so there is a deal of confidence anticipating standing before the one that can indeed pronounce cleanness. Now, as we develop through the scriptures, we'll notice that the apostles in the New Testament especially emphasize the affliction of leprosy as having an application to our lives in the truth. You know, it wasn't only the physical bodies of a person that was afflicted by leprosy. If you go on into the next chapter here of Leviticus, you find that the house also could be afflicted. The house could be subject to leprosy. Not only the house, but the garments of a person, their clothing could be afflicted by leprosy. So we see the individual flesh of a person, we see their house, we see their garments likewise can be afflicted by leprosy. And again, it would start in a very small area. Generally, it was mildew in a garment. And if mildew was not noticed and corrected, it would gradually grow until it would rot the fabric itself. And then the fabric would absolutely be useless. And you can imagine what effect this would have upon a person who possessed a garment that was valuable. And so with a valuable garment, a person would be very much aware of the possibilities of mildew or leprosy forming within that garment. And it always formed in the warp or the woof, which is the weave of the garment. Deep down within the weave, that is where it formed. And yet, it could be easily detected because those little mole spores would reveal themselves. And so the person was shown here in the instruction in Leviticus that they've had to be aware of their covering, they had to be aware of their homes, their household, and they had to be aware of themselves. Now, when we go through to the New Testament, we see the Lord Jesus Christ. He comes to the temple. Here's the house. And in John chapter 2, he enters into the temple on a first inspection. In Leviticus there, if we had time, we would have seen that the priest came to a house that was afflicted by leprosy. He inspected it once, and he ordered it to be scraped and cleaned, and the affected particles removed and replaced. At a later date, the priest came back a second time and a second inspection of the house was given. If the leprosy was still there and had spread, then obviously it had gone beyond the original infection, and therefore the house was riddled and incurable. And therefore the priest would pronounce that that house had to be pulled down, taken down brick by brick, piece by piece, and removed into an unclean place. Now we see the Lord Jesus Christ showing here in John chapter 2 and verse 13 that God's temple had been defiled. It was riddled with leprosy because of the priesthood and the things that the people were doing at that time. So that in John 2 verse 13, the priest comes to the house of God. And verse 14, he found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves and changes of money sitting. And when he had made a scourge of small cords, he drove them out of the temple, and the sheep and the oxen, and poured out the changers' money, and overthrew the changers, overthrew the tables. Now they could well have said, "What right have you to do this? All these things are here that we might worship the Father. And we've got all these things that we might give opportunity to others to worship the Father. Many people have travelled hundreds of miles to come to this temple. They are unable to bring sacrifices with them. So we're providing the sacrifices for them. And you come in here and you treat us like this." But their attitude was completely wrong. And they were profiting from the things of God. And they were exploiting the poorness and the situations of their brethren and sisters. Now there was moral defilement, and it had defiled that house, and leprosy was at work in that house. And so the Lord Jesus Christ attempts to cleanse it by removing the objects that were helping to defile that house morally. But he came back at a later date, recorded in Mark 11. He let it go for a while to see whether anything would happen. And so in Mark 11 and verse 14, the Lord comes back again. A considerable time later, he'd given opportunity to see whether his removal of those offensive parts had have indeed corrected the development of leprosy. And in Mark 11 and verse 14, Jesus answered and said, "No man eat the fruit of thee hereafter forever." And his disciples heard it. On the way to inspect that house, he saw a fig tree that represented the nation. There was no fruit on that tree. And so as the Lord came closer to the temple, he came to Jerusalem and went into the temple. And he began to cast out them that sold and bought in the temple and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves. And he would not suffer that any man should carry any vessel through the temple. It looks like it's worse now. They're carrying vessels to and fro in the temple now. See, the leprosy has grown in the temple. It hasn't been corrected. And here's the second inspection of the priest. That's why when you go to Matthew 23, the Lord had no alternative than to describe that house as being utterly corrupt now, and that it had to be removed brick by brick, stone by stone, and taken into an unclean place. So that in Matthew 23 verse 38 he says, "Behold, your house is left unto you desolate, and you will not see me henceforth till you say, Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord." Verse 2 of the next chapter, Jesus said unto them, "See ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be here left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down." The house was leprous. The priesthood and the temple service was riddled with leprosy. It started off in small stages. There was opportunity when the Lord commenced his ministry in John 2. At the beginning of his ministry, the priest inspected it. He declared it to be undefiled, and they had every opportunity in the years that followed to listen to the instruction that came from the physician that they might cleanse that house. They rejected his advice. And so the leprosy grew in that house. When he came and inspected it a second time, he says it's gone beyond control now. They're far worse than they were originally. Therefore, stone by stone, brick by brick, this leprous house has got to be carted away into an unclean place. Precisely what the Romans did. They burnt it to the ground to get rid of the defilement and carted the utensils and the people away to Rome and scattered them in the world. You see the garment used by the apostles too, the leprous garment. And the apostle Paul takes this up in Hebrews chapter 1, the reading that our brethren read to us at the beginning of the meeting. Here's the leprous garment. The apostle Paul is saying here that the nation was also clothed in leprosy. And they were not being prepared to detect that leprosy. So that in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 11, the apostle dealing again with the leaders and the people, the heavens and the earth, he says in verse 11, they will perish, but thou remainest. They all shall wax old as doth a garment, and as a vesture shalt thou fold them up, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. The priest of God, the Son of God, he's undefiled. He's the one that can cleanse those people. He can clothe them with garments that will never be defiled, but they're clothing themselves with a garment that waxes old. And as an old vesture that starts to rot and fall to pieces, they're going to be folded up and changed for something that will endure. If you go through to Hebrews chapter 8, the apostle takes this a little further and shows that leprosy had riddled the coverings of Judah at that time. If only they'd have listened to the Lord, and if only they've clothed themselves with him, so that in Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 13 the apostle says, in that he saith a new covenant, he has made the first one old. Now that which decayeth, there's the leprosy, and waxeth old, is ready to vanish away. It's going to be folded up and removed, again pointing forward to AD 70. And when the Romans came in, they didn't only remove that leprous house, they removed the leprous covering that the priesthood and the people were endeavouring to cover themselves in at that particular time. And they were rejecting the covering of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why you read in Mark 14:63 that the high priest rent his garments. When he stood before the Lord Jesus Christ and the Lord convicted him, the high priest rent his garments. That's what the leper had to do. Rent his garments and go around with dishevelled hair, torn garments, crying out, I'm unclean. What a difference when the leper had his hair neatly combed or brushed, when he had clean, whole garments upon him, and he could go around saying to his brethren, holy, 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 that is what the Father wants from us. And when that high priest tore his garment, he was indicating that he was leprous, and he indicated this by the torn garments. So you see, the theme flows through the New Testament as an instruction to us. We've got to make sure that our houses, the ecclesia, is free from leprosy. It starts off in very small doses. We've got to be careful that the garments, the things we trust in, the things that we try to cover ourselves with, are likewise free from this defilement. We've got to make sure our own lives are. You know, Paul, I believe, has this in mind when he writes to Timothy, and he says, beware of the words of Hymenaeus and Philetus. They're undermining the truth, and their words eat as a canker, Timothy. It's only words, but their words are like leprosy. Their words will eat out the faith and the confidence of brethren and sisters. That's why I believe what Paul has in mind when he says to Timothy those words, 2 Timothy 2:15, be careful of these things. Because like leprosy, they might just be opinions. But if they're let develop in a person's mind, they'll eventually affect that person's whole way of thinking. Be careful, it's leprosy. Why do you think the Apostle Paul says in 2 Corinthians 6 verse 17, come out from the world, be separate, and touch not the unclean? I believe he's got in mind leprosy. That's why the leper had to keep separate from everyone. If we go and deliberately rub shoulders with a leper, something that a person would shudder to do, The mere sight of a leper, and people would repel because they would not like to come in contact with it. Look, you've only got to see a person with a bad flu and they start coughing and sneezing and people withdraw. How much more to see a person covered in leprosy? You would naturally withdraw. And yet the apostle says to the Corinthians, you're rubbing shoulders with the moral lepers of the world. Come out, touch not the unclean thing. I believe Jude has this in mind, where he says in verse 23, you know, try and help your brethren that are spotted with the garments of the flesh. You know, try and help your brethren and yourself to keep unspotted from the world. Don't we think the Lord Jesus would have that in mind in the Apocalypse 3 and verse 14, where he speaks to those in Sardis that had not defiled their garments? There's a few in that ecclesia that had not defiled their garments. So you see, throughout the scriptures, those principles are set forth in Leviticus 13 are exhortations for us. We've got to be on our guard about these things and guard them carefully. I want you now, with this in mind, to go to Matthew chapter 8. And I believe there's a beautiful principle brought forth in Matthew chapter 8. And here's our hope. Here's our hope for the lepers of all times, of which, brethren and sisters, we are at some time or other, before, and I believe even after we've come to the knowledge of the truth, there's been those defilements and there's been those spots in our character. They may only be skin deep, but I believe we all know what the word's talking about. And we must remember too that under the law, even a leper that could never be cleansed physically had hope in faith. And that's been brought out beautifully here in Matthew chapter 8. See, in the previous chapters, in Matthew 5, 6 and 7, the Lord Jesus Christ has instructed his disciples with the Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes. And he's pointed out to them the very high ideals that the Father calls us all to. Now look, we can't go through Matthew 5, 6 and 7 without admitting that look, we can't level up to those things in perfection. Try as we may, we fall. And we fall continually. We're trying to identify with those high and perfect ideals in Matthew 5, 6 and 7. But we seem to fail. We seem to be moral lepers. We have our failures. We see the defilement. We see it growing at times. But the hope is in chapter 8. The Lord knew this. And that's why immediately after giving his disciples this beautiful instruction to cleanliness and holiness and identifying with the unspotted Son of God, realizing that he set before them an ideal that they could not attain to in perfection, he gives them hope in chapter 8. When they were come down from those heights of holiness, great multitudes followed him, and there came a leper. And that leper worshipped him, saying, Lord, you're the priest. If you will, you can make me clean. But there's the spirit of Leviticus 13. That man knew his plight. He knew what his state was. And he went right up to the Lord Jesus Christ in front of all these great multitudes of people. And no doubt people were backing away from that man as he moved through them to go to the Lord. And he came up to the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Lord looked upon that man, and there was an example he wanted all to behold. There was a man that was well and truly aware of his plight. And he knew that it was only the priest, the Lord Jesus Christ, that could help him and pronounce him clean. And he says, look, if you will, you can do it. You can do it, Lord. And what did the Lord Jesus Christ do? He put forth his hand and touched that leper. You know, what a shock for people to behold. You know, the law says don't ever do that. If you touch a leper, you're going to contact his defilement. But there's the Son of God. And he touched that man. It seems as though this man would have been covered in it, and he couldn't have helped but touch the leprosy on that man. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus said unto him, don't tell people of this, because people can't imitate your attitude of mind. That's a characteristic you've got in your mind. There's a humility of mind and faith. So it's no use telling others. Lepers come running to me. They won't be healed like you unless they've got your attitude of mind. So it's no use going telling them. But you go and tell the priests. Go and tell them, because they're defiled. You go and tell them what has happened to you and pour out your heart and soul to them. They've never been able to help you, and tell them how you were helped, and you go through that ritual that's outlined in Leviticus 14. And you ask them to allow you to perform that whole ritual. Perhaps that'll be a testimony unto them. Brethren and sisters, as we think of these things set before us, let's examine ourselves, as the Apostle Paul says. And let's be frank with ourselves. Let's be prepared to see how far short we fall of the high mark of our calling in the Lord Jesus Christ. And let's pour out our hearts and souls to the Father through his Son and ask him to cleanse us. And let us look to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ with joy, if yet with fear.